Hello and welcome back to the Creator Spotlight podcast, the show focused on highlighting the very best of your favourite creators. On today's episode, I have Louise Woodhams. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, not too bad. So it's good to have you on the show. Do you want to just give a little brief overview of who you are and then sort of what you do as well?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Louise and I'm editor and founder of discoverev.co.uk. We founded the website about around about March 2019, I think, on the back of, my background is motoring journalism, and no one in that space was kind of doing anything with EVs. I think there was one other outlet in Europe that I could find. So we thought people needed to know about the benefits of going electric. We'd recently done the same, and we're very proactive with green technologies. We've switched over to air source pump, we've got solar, recently got Tesla batteries. So we just really wanted to educate people to the pros of electric cars and what it involves, because it's still relatively new. Mm-hmm. It's not a new technology, obviously, but it's new to a lot of people in terms of their main transport.
Yeah, makes sense. And then, so the website itself, you publish like news and reviews and things on there, do you? Or?
Yeah, so the website was originally designed to be kind of like an online magazine as such.
Yeah.
As I said, I've been a motoring journalist now for 25 years, a long time. So I'm from the old school tradition, I guess, of journalism. But print is kind of dying a bit now. So the intention of the website was to be like you pick up in a magazine. So yes, you're right, like at the time it was news, reviews of every kind of car, that like FAQ section. And then we later introduced a free digital classified, free digital marketplace for people to buy and sell cars as well. And it just kind of grew and developed from there, really.
Yeah, it's always good. I do feel print, it's the whole thing's dying a little bit. I used to read car magazines quite a bit, and I do know that industry is going downhill a little bit. Everything's online now, isn't it? So it makes a lot of sense. So you've got the website side, and then moving to video. I know that you tried video a while back, and then you recently started the channel again. What's that been like?
A different journey to what it was when we first started out. So obviously we got the website and we kind of built that up, as I said. Mm. And then it got to the point where more and more people were moving to video, and we knew that was an area that we needed to develop. So it was initially myself and my husband. So my husband's a web developer, and him and his team are responsible for building the website, and also was a petrol head, now an EV head. So we were kind of working together on the video. I would write the script and do the presenting, he would film it, and then we'd get his web developers to then and designers to process the video, and then we'd put it online. But what we found is it's quite challenging to work that closely alongside your respective half at times, and B, massively time consuming for what we were getting in return at that point. So we were still getting a couple of thousand views. I think the smart car got 10,000 views. So it wasn't bad considering that was, you know, a good few years ago. But as I said, at that time, what we were getting in return for the time that we were both spending and his staff, that we just basically went back to written reviews. And then we were approached by somebody that I'd met several years ago who had recently left his company and was looking to expand his portfolio and do something more creative. And so we collaborated. This was a good few months ago now. And actually, it was very successful. I think over the first month, it grew by, the stats were crazy. It's like grew by 10,000% over the first month. So we'd obviously got a formula that was working, but unfortunately, he doesn't work with us anymore. So we're now looking to, if anyone out there is watching this and knows of someone, we're basically looking for a new videographer, but someone ideally who can do the videoing and the producing, and then knows about YouTube strategy, or if that's another person, then we'll have to do that as well. But it's been quite a challenging journey. I've been a print journalist and then latterly kind of online with stuff. I'm very new to YouTube and what works and what doesn't work. And there's definitely been some lessons learnt. And I'm still very new to things in terms of, you know, how to make money from it, because there are so many people out there doing stuff, and you've really got to stand out, basically, I think, to make a difference.
It's absolutely huge, isn't it?
Yeah, so some help with that would be good.
I've got to say,
but it's enjoyable.
It is enjoyable, yeah. It is good fun, and once you've created something you're quite proud of, it is quite nice. I mean, I did watch the original, so the first, is it 8 videos that you made? And they're really good. They've got sort of kind of a unique edge to them. It's
Thank
sort
you.
Of, they're quite truth, like, they feel very truthful, and they feel quite, just, yeah, there's no
real?
Fluff. That, yeah, real, that's the word.
Yeah.
They're definitely good.
I mean, and that's what I was saying earlier about what I've learnt with YouTube is, well, A, you've got to make unique content and something that makes you stand out. B, I think you've got to know your audience, or know who you want your audience to be, I guess. And I think for me, I was just really bored of watching the same car reviews. You know, it's like a man or a woman standing front 3/4 of the car, just kind of spieling stuff. And most of it was complimentary. And just not how you'd, I don't know, talk about a car with your mate down the pub. It was just very staid. And I think our approach with our new videos was that it had to be completely truthful. Whether that's to the detriment of a manufacturer then giving you another car or not. I mean, luckily, as I said, because I've been in the industry 20 odd years, I've built up an amazing relationship with most of the manufacturers. So I kind of hoped that they would take some of the negatives on board, as, you know, it's real life, isn't it? I mean, you can't like everything about product, and people have got to realise that. And just be myself, really. It's, you know, I'm not a presenter with training background in doing that industry, but I'm passionate about cars. I'm hopefully very knowledgeable about electric cars in particular, and just have a bit of fun with it. You know, it's entertainment as well.
Yeah, you've got to have fun with it. Otherwise people won't stick around. If they don't see that you're having fun, they won't keep watching, basically. So
no,
yeah,
exactly. So it's been an amazing journey, and it's one that I definitely want to continue, because, you know, our viewers are kind of gone like that, which is incredible. And to stop now would be such a shame. So yeah, we need another videographer to fill the spot, and someone that is hopefully a genius at monetizing stuff from YouTube content.
Yeah, so you mentioned you got started in print journalism, so do you want to just sort of give me sort of how you got started, and sort of some of the outlets you worked for as well? That'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, so it's quite an interesting story how it all started. My dad grew up loving Volvos. He was a policeman, so safety was an important thing to him. And because of that, then I grew up loving the same brand, but also cars in general. But when I was 15, my dad wrote a letter to the Volvo magazine, which was sent out to owners of Volvos. It wasn't like a general on sale magazine, and just said, you know, my daughter's Volvo mad, could she have a few posters for her room? And that sparked in them commissioning me to write a 6-page article when I was 15, and I went up to Donington Racetrack with Kelvin Burt, who, I don't know if you were into British touring cars. Okay, he was kind of, he drove for Volvo at the time, so for me this was a dream come true. And we went round the track with him. I kind of had a passenger ride, and then I drove round with him as well.
Oh, wow.
He sat in the passenger seat, and then it was basically a 6-page feature writing about my experience. And so I did that, and I'm actually quite pleased to see when it was published that nothing much had changed, which was good. And then kind of the few of the nationals picked up from that, and it kind of, I guess, escalated from there, really. So I then did a diploma in magazine journalism, and then just did work experience, just trying to write to every publication that that did car reviews for free. And then eventually, my first job was when I was 21 for Performance BMW magazine, which at the time was owned by Unity Media. And I was editor by 24 of that mag. And then went on to Total 911, which is Imagine Publishing at the time. At 29 was editor of that. And then I had a bit of a financial wobble because motion journalism isn't the best paid career. And went into PR and had some really cool clients. Ironically, I won Volvo as a client and Rolls-Royce, Infiniti, Red Bull Racing. But after a couple of years, I realised I sold my soul to the devil, basically. And then I just went back into journalism and started No Limits Media, which is my own company, and I do freelance copywriting, okay. Bit of social media marketing. Just a mixed bag, really, for covering automotive sector. That's, and then obviously Discovery EV came in 2019.
That's very impressive been... that at such a young age you became the editor of a magazine.
Oh, thanks.
That's like, unheard of.
I was
of
very yeah. driven, to excuse the pun.
Yeah, that's. I've got to feel that's very unheard of now. That's very impressive, so...
Yeah, and I think at the time, I mean, there's a few female journalists, but I think at that age to become an editor and also being female was quite unusual.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, the sort of the what inspired you mentioned sort of you got some smart home tech, sort of EV tech in your house. But what inspired your move to EV? Did you try one out in the early days, or and then thought of something, oh, this is great, and then went from there, or?
That's a good question because the previous car, so our first EV was a Tesla, the Model 3 Performance. Oh, and my car before that was the E92 M3, which was the V8 engine to M3. So you couldn't get more different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was a lot of things really, but mainly to do with the quality of the air. Mm. I think at the time I must have been pushing my first in his pram, and it's for an industrial state, and there was loads of cars just queuing up and stuff, and just the fumes were really bad, and they were right at his level, and I never really thought about the air pollution. I was just such a car freak that, and having never been a parent before, I didn't really think of the impact on the environment. Mm. So I think that was kind of one thing. And then actually, for me, performance is a massive thing, and handling. And the Tesla still ticked those boxes. And also just how much cheaper it was to maintain and drive. Yeah. We got a car charger installed at home. At that point, people, believe it or not, were offering free charging. Like Tesco's, a load of the local council car parks.
Yeah, there was a lot of places that offered it for free, wasn't there, at the time? There's still a handful around, but not many. But yeah, it's surprising.
And you were thinking at the time, this is not going to last. Like, So it was also, I think the only other cost difference was the insurance was slightly higher. Mm. But apart from that, maintenance costs, you got fewer moving parts. Yeah. No oil changes, fewer things that need doing on the car. And the charging thing for us was a big thing. And obviously the Tesla infrastructure. And I think, when you first go over to EV, you do have that concern about, will I get somewhere and charge my car? And people still have that, but mm-hmm. with planning, you can do it. And I think in those early days, because Tesla have got this amazing infrastructure, that you knew you could travel the length and breadth of the UK and never really have to worry. And I think, we got rid of the Tesla last year, and I was a bit concerned, but we have test cars back to back almost every week. So I just kind of realized that actually with a bit of planning, you're never going to get stuck. It's the same with a petrol car, isn't it? You're never going to leave 10 miles in the tank. You're going to find somewhere first. And I think it's changing people's mindset in that respect, that they won't get stranded. And, also, who's going to travel 250 miles without stopping?
I know.
Especially if you're old and got back problems, you've got kids that need a wee.
That's what people forget. Like, you can only go so much, really, without... Well, I think people that boast they can do, 7, 8, 9 hours in a car, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. and also unsafe, I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Even after 3 hours, I just get tired, don't I? Mm. Need to stop.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not for everyone. You know, if you are a sales rep and you're up and down the country every day, then it probably is a bit of an inconvenience. But I think what's the average miles driven per day? And I think this was a pre-COVID figure, was 35 miles a day, I think, the average person travels. So it's a no-brainer, really. Unfortunately, the government are removing or have removed a lot of the subsidiaries, you know, to make the move, the transition into it easier. And then they're still expensive cars to buy. I think the second-hand market is getting better, certainly, than it was 5 years ago. But for us, I think once you have EV, you never go back.
Yeah, I think so.
That's been my experience. Yeah, it makes friends and family.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on Twitter I see, just very negative stuff. I think that's very, very isolated.
Lots of Daily Mail stuff.
Yeah. I think it is very isolated, and it's a very small amount of people that I think are quite loud, unfortunately. But yeah, it's good to see all the content on YouTube of showing how good they are and just showing the benefits of them, so it's good. So
thank you.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that when you moved into video, there were some challenges that came with that. So was it to do with sort of the YouTube side, or was it to do with working out what to say, or like what was the challenges that you found?
The scripting side I found quite easy. There was a bit of a jump between actually traditional print journalism and broadcast journalism, in terms of I was making things far more detailed, and actually I just needed to be more myself. But that took like a few goes, and then I sort of got that side of it. For me, it was more also the presenting. I found a bit of a challenge, but I realised actually that we're all human, and after two or three takes, that's, you know, you don't always get stuff first time. But what you touched on earlier, I guess the challenges for me was when you upload it, like learning about SEO optimization and the YouTube algorithms. That was completely new to me. And it just being a different medium, I guess, is what I found most challenging.
Makes sense.
But yeah, I guess it's, as I said, it's still a learning curve for me, because I feel like I need to learn more about how you make money off it. and whether it's even possible to make a living from.
I think it is. There's a lot of people that do, even smaller channels, that they make they make a good living off it. I think it just comes with time. Like, so I started a YouTube channel for the interface website back in June last year. Well, I started doing car reviews on it, and it's only just started making money like 13 months later, it takes a long time.
I've been told that you've got to try it for at least a year.
Yeah.
And then you kind of can see, you know, the trajectory of how your audience is growing, and then I guess you can get into affiliation and sponsorship and stuff like that, can't you?
Yeah, it's what I find interesting about YouTube is it's usually with this kind of thing, things just get replaced so often, like something new comes along, and YouTube has been around for a very long time. I'm surprised, I'm half surprised, half not, that it hasn't been replaced by anything. It's incredible that everyone's come to this platform that was a bit of a little thing when it came out, that everyone's doing it now. Magazines are doing it. There's sort of Johnny Smith, he's gone from doing TV stuff to doing YouTube stuff primarily. It's quite interesting to watch. So
yeah, I mean it's a huge entity, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, like kids mainly consume most of their watched media, if you like, through YouTube. It just astounds me. They watch people playing games. They watch other people playing computer games. What's that about?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's possibly, for some demographics, it's probably more than traditional television is. I know it is for me, that we only watch traditional television maybe 1 hour a day.
Mm.
But YouTube, it's doing lunch. It's a bit more, so yeah.
Yeah, I think it is the most watched channel, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And it originally started out as a dating site, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Back in the day, someone told me, yeah.
Oh, that's
and it wasn't really working, and they changed the format, and then it went into people making videos.
Oh.
Because I think what it was like a dating channel, and people would upload videos of themselves saying, I'm Fred or whatever, and I live down the road, and I like fishing. And then it got more into people just doing videos of themselves, and then it grew from there, I believe.
Oh, I'll have to look into that. That's quite funny, actually.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, in terms of, well, I know you mentioned that you haven't got a videographer at the moment, but what's sort of your plans for the future with the driving EV website and also the YouTube channel as well? What sort of, have you got any goals you've got in mind or?
Yeah, so the YouTube side of things has been quite time consuming, but the idea is that we'll still be generating content on the website. So for every YouTube review, there'll be a written review of the car as well.
Okay.
And then hopefully as the channel grows, we can then expand maybe the website and employ more people to write more content for it. Because at the moment, you know, it's a few freelance writers and myself, but it's a very small company, if you like.
Yeah.
And I think long term I would love for YouTube to give us like a quite a good income so that we can feed the website and get people on there for the digital marketplace as well. I think it's very difficult to compete against big publishing companies with vast amounts of expenditure and staffing, so I've kind of got to grow very organically. And, you know, even if this time next year we're getting 100,000 viewers or, you know, I'd be very pleased with that. So I think, you know, yeah, long-term wise, I would like to just be more of a brand or more recognised on YouTube and then just grow the two together.
That makes a lot of sense, actually, because they sort of go hand in hand a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Definitely.
Yeah, sort of going forward, have you got any sort of advice for anyone who's looking to get into either print, well, not print journalism, but sort of journalism as a whole, but or any filming? Because you said you didn't have any training to start filming. I think a lot of people are like that. This doesn't, when they want to do YouTube and stuff, they don't see the real point in it. Have you got any advice for anyone looking to get into either of those two or wanting to get anything creative, really?
For me, I mean, I did get the qualification with print journalism, magazine journalism, but I think actually it's one of those industries where it also helps to know people.
Yeah.
It's often who you know, not what you don't know. But generally, I'd say just 100% passion and knowledge and standing out above everyone else, because it's a competitive industry. I mean, there are so many people out there that love cars and want to work with cars, you know, whether it's presenting or writing. And for me, I'm so driven and so enthusiastic about it that there's no way I was going to take no from from everyone. So I just keep going until I got there. And I think it's true in everything you want to do, you know, that doesn't require obviously years and years of training like a doctor or a lawyer. But if you want something that badly, I really believe that you can get it.
Yeah, what's quite nice about you're not relying on someone else to say yes. You can just upload stuff yourself now. You can make your own website, you can make your own channel, you can make your own podcast or whatever. You can just
exactly.
You haven't got.
And that was so different to when I started out in journalism. You know, you had to traditionally train. Sorry. And then look for a job, and then hope that you got your foot in the door and just work your way up like I did. But you're right, I mean, anyone now can, not anyone, but you know, really there are so many YouTube channels where it's just one guy or one girl with a video and just making videos, and it's quite easy now. I guess it works two ways though, doesn't it? Because it's very easy to go out there and do that, but because of that, they're now competing with hundreds of other people. So how do they stand out? And for me, that's what the kind of two biggest lessons that I've learned is creating unique content that is not out there of what you're doing or selling or promoting, and knowing your audience and what they want. So like we learned quite early on with our videos that our audience tend to generally like performance stuff or really quirky stuff. And so I think also you've got to learn that even if you don't want to review a certain product or talk about something, that actually you might not have a choice because that's not what your audience are, you know, logging in or subscribing to your channel to watch, basically.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, definitely.
Yeah.
If people want to find out more about what you make and do, where can they find you on the internet?
So discoverev.co.uk is our main website, and on there you'll find all our links to our social media channels. So I'm very recent to TikTok because I am old school and we are on there now, but obviously our YouTube channel is Discover EV, and we've got Instagram, Facebook. We've got a good following on Facebook, and that's basically where you'll find like how to know more about Discover EV.
Fantastic. Once again, thank you so much for joining me on the Creative Spotlight podcast. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts and YouTube, and also the Interface website at theinterface.uk. Again, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll see you again next time.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Cheers. Bye-bye.